First Samuel chapter number 3, and we're going to continue in our series this morning, Passionate Parenting, learning parenting principles from the Word of God that we can apply to our lives and to our homes, that we may cultivate in our children a heart for God, for the Lord. And we've looked at several topics this morning. We're going to look at the engaged parent, the engaged parent. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." Let's read that last phrase together, beginning with the word "and." Ready? "And he restrained them not." Now, the Lord is saying that he is going to perform this judgment against Eli for the things that Eli and his sons, we'll meet them in a little bit in this lesson, Hophni and Phinehas, for the things that they had done. The Bible says the iniquity, their sin, their wrongdoing that God knew about, God said because of that, because Eli knew about it, because his sons were making themselves vile, but specifically because Eli didn't do anything about it, God was going to bring a severe judgment to this family. And I think today, as we look in our culture and our society at the need for strong homes, if we're going to be passionate in our parenting, then we have to determine to be an engaged parent, to be involved, to be active. And one of the great failures in Eli's life was the fact that he was a passive parent. He was not involved. He knew things that he did nothing about. And I believe that we can learn from this father, and in the sense of his ability to be a father, his laziness, which led to the wickedness of his boys. And on this day where we're celebrating Mother's Day, and we're grateful for the influence of every mom, and we want to be in an environment that's lifting high the position of mom, but we want to be challenged as mothers and fathers that we need to be engaged in the life of our children. Now, as our children grow and mature, we'll hear things like, "Well, they're just in a phase right now. They're going to grow out of this." Or, "It's just something that they do. They're maturing and this is now a part of life." Or, "All kids are this way. There's not really anything that we can do about it to change it. It's just kind of who they are." Or, "They've got to be able to make decisions for themselves and we need to let them do this." And sometimes these are statements you're hearing from parents that are being passive. They've kind of checked out of their parental responsibility and now are letting the children just basically do whatever it is they want. And our culture, our society is telling us that there are attributes about children today that are normal. This is just part of it. Like wanting to be in their room by themselves all the time. That's just normal. That's just what kids do as they get older. Avoiding close relationships with parents. That's just kind of part of it. They're growing out of that. This is just something that we have to accept. I mean, it's who they are now. Or they have prolonged rebellion or a bad attitude. They've just gotten to that age. You know how it is. Or they act with immaturity and irresponsibility, and we don't do anything about it. We just kind of let it go. They have little or no interest in biblical or godly things. Well, they're growing out of that per se. Or they want to be sexually active before marriage. Well, that's just kind of the way it is. And in our culture and our society, we have labeled certain behaviors that the Bible would teach against as normal for children as they get older or mature or head into the teen years. And when we do that, when we label these behaviors as normal, like we have no choice, then it justifies our desire to disengage and pull back. Because what can we do? If we were fully engaged, it would be this way anyway, so what's the point? And so it justifies this pulling back, this disengagement, not exhausting as much energy into the parenting effort that we should, and we can begin to rationalize that happening in our hearts. Sometimes we can just say we're tired. I mean, we've been parenting for a long time, and we just need a break. Or we don't really know what to do. We're facing stuff now and issues and things they want to talk about that we never dreamed we would be facing or talking about. Or I've got other things to do now. I mean, I've got my career, and I've got this hobby, and I've got this interest, and I've got this thing, and I'm a bit distracted. And I just want to challenge us this morning, all of us in His design class, that whatever the reason may be, I pray that we will leave this room in a few moments convinced of one thing, that passive parenting is disastrous no matter how you got there. Whatever leads you there, it leads to disaster. It's not something you and I can accept. We have to fight against the status quo. We have to work upstream, but we've got to stay involved and engaged in the life of our child. Why? Proverbs says in 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Children cannot be left to themselves. They need you. They need their mom and their dad. Now, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. Now we know the word Belial is another word for Satan or the devil, right? And so now the sons of Eli, so Eli is the preacher. So the Bible is describing the sons of the preacher as the sons of the devil. They knew not the Lord. What a sad statement. They knew not the Lord. Verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Well, I would assume it lends to belief that their sin was very great before the Lord if they were growing up in a pastor's home and being referenced as boys of Satan who knew not the Lord. Usually children who don't know the Lord end up living lives that displease the Lord. That's the way it works. And these boys were growing up in a preacher's home and they knew not the Lord. What a sad statement. And then we see that the sum of their actions was very displeasing. Their sin was very great before the Lord. So how do we avoid passive parenting? What does an engaged parent look like? What are some lessons we can learn from this father, the prophet Eli this morning, that we can avoid in our life? And I want us this morning in our time together to notice 7 pitfalls of passive parenting, 7 characteristics in the life of Eli as a father that we can identify and say, don't go that way. Go the opposite. This is not the way to go. We want to be the way of an engaged parent. What are they? Number one, passive parents defer parenting and spiritual development to institutions and environments. They will disengage from their responsibility and then place the responsibility on the church or on the Christian school, or on the youth group, or on the summer at teen camp, a week at teen camp, or whatever the case may be. And they believe that getting their children in the right environments merely, like church and Christian school and youth group and so on, will guarantee the proper rearing of their children. Now, I think children ought to be in a good environment. I was this week kind of getting ready for today, and I was encouraging many in our class, and sometimes for me sitting in the 8:30 service, I'm on the front row and there's not a lot I can do, but I'll get text messages, and I got several this morning, and Brother Rule, we won't be there, we're celebrating Mother's Day. Brother Rule, we won't be there, we're celebrating Mother's Day. Brother Rule, we won't be there, we're celebrating Mother's Day. And I said, Lord, help me to be in the Spirit when I teach this morning, because it used to be we celebrated Mother's Day by going to church. Hey. And I thought, what in the world? Celebrating Mother's Day should be in church. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. We go to church on Sunday. That's a great way to celebrate Mother's Day. But anyway, I digress, and we'll say that lesson because you're here and they're not. So anyway, but we don't want to just leave the parenting to the institutions. And I think we ought to be in the institutions. I'm thankful for Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm thankful this morning that my children are in classes under the influence of people that I believe love them, pray for them, and want to teach them the Word of God. I'm grateful that tomorrow my children will go to a school and be under the influence of an authority of a teacher who I truly believe love my children, pray for my children, and want them to turn out for God and want them to have a right relationship with me. I'm grateful for the influences in the life of my children. I wouldn't replace them. I'm thankful for them. I'm glad we have them. But I cannot make the mistake of thinking that as long as they have that, they don't need me. Because no pastor, youth pastor, teacher, coach, or any other influence in their life is ever going to replace or out-influence you. You are the number one influencer. Mom, dad, that's your role. 1 Samuel 1:3, the Bible says, and this man went up from out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, there they are, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there. Where was Hophni and Phinehas? In church. In church. That's where they were. They went to church. There was Daddy. They were in church. They may have had a life like mine. Tobin, I grew up in a pastor's home. We were always in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings. I don't even know why we had a home sometimes. And we were at the church all the time. That's just how I grew up. And the Bible says that's how it was for Hophni and Phinehas. Their dad was a preacher. They were at church all the time. But it wasn't enough. Eli had to stay engaged in their life. Other influences and environments can complement or support your godly parenting, but they will never overcome the lack thereof. We've got to be convinced of this. It's not enough to have my kids in a great church and a great Christian school and a great youth program or children's ministry program or whatever the case may be, and then I can kick it neutral for a little while. Because look at all these things I've got them in. It doesn't work that way. I can get them in those environments and it complements what I'm doing and it supports what I'm doing. And there's that threefold core principle at work in my home, and thank God for it. But it will never replace and it will never make up for whatever I am lacking. I have to do my part. So we got to stay engaged. Disengaged parents are leaving it to the institutions. Secondly, passive parents excuse their own sin and their children's sin. Now notice this in 1 Samuel 2:29 as we study the life of Eli. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Wow. The Lord is saying to the preacher, you're honoring your sons above me, God, in your life, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Now, God is chastening the preacher and saying, you're putting your sons above me and their sin above me. And Eli basically rationalized this behavior in the lives of his boys because there was sin in his own life. In other words, Eli was benefiting from the sin of his sons. Because of their misappropriation with the offerings, he got a cut. This stuff coming home, he benefited from it. And Eli's life was a little bit more comfortable because of the wicked living of his boys, and so he let it go. And there was sin in his own life that prevented him from confronting the life or the living of his boys. And only when it reached to the point where people were complaining, when it got so bad, the people in the community literally went to the preacher and said, could you do something about your boys? They're stealing the offering and they're sleeping with the women in the church. It's an absolute disgrace. Could you do something about that? That's what it came to. That's finally when Eli gets involved. And he goes to his son, and you read the account, it's basically a slap on the wrist. It's basically, guys, everybody's complaining about you, so stop. It wasn't a grieved heart. Like, how in the world did my boys get to the low degradation where they are taking the money from the house of God and performing such wicked acts in the house of God with people? It wasn't a grieved heart over the behavior of the boys. It was an irritation that people were bringing to him a bad report about the boys. Now, before we beat up Eli, let's think about us for a little while. You ever been there? Have you ever been more frustrated with your kids because of what people were telling you about your kids than the actual behavior of your kids? We probably all have, right? And we will react because we're embarrassed or because we're inconvenienced or because now it somehow looks badly on our home, when really the focus should be on the behavior in the heart of the child. And this was the mistake that Eli was making. He was concerned and excusing his sin and their sin because of what was happening here amongst the people and from the Lord. And sometimes we will tolerate the sin in the life of our children because we don't want to deal with it or because we don't want to give up our own. Now listen, I forget, one of the families in our class and I were talking this week, and we were out making visits or something together. I'm trying to remember now who it was, and I apologize, I'm not recalling it, but We were talking about some of the characteristics that exist in successful homes. And this person who we're talking said to me, you know, I think, Brother Earl, one of the things I've learned is we just got to be consistent. And I said, oh, you're right. That's important. But we got to be consistent. Our kids need us to be consistent, the same all the time. Every day, everywhere, we got to be consistent in what it is we do. And I believe as we're training our children, there really should be nothing in our life that we're not willing to do without in order to provide a real, consistent pattern. In other words, if there's anything in our life that we do or permit or involved in or whatever that we really would never want our son or daughter ever involved in or doing or listening to or watching or participating in or whatever, then our heart before God should just be, I don't need it either. Why would I continue to do this or allow this in my life or be involved in this when I don't ever want my kids in it? There's just going to have to be a point where we just say, you know what? I can't expect what I'm not willing to do. Because if I do that, it's going to lead me to the path of a passive parent. Then I will see things in the life of my kids that should be dealt with, and I won't deal with them because I'm not willing to deal with my own. I've got this little area of my life that I want it the way it is, and I'm going to protect it no matter what God says, and that's going to give me an excuse someday to not deal with something in the life of my child when I should. It's a mistake that Eli made and his sons, and it cost them dearly. And we got to make sure we're willing to engage in the lives of our children. It doesn't matter how much it may disrupt our life. It's worth it. So Eli made the mistake of excusing his sin and the sin of his sons. Thirdly, passive parents avoid confrontation and responsibility. We read in 1 Samuel 2, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them. Eli's coming to his sons and saying, guys, you got to clean this up. God's coming after you. And they kind of said, yeah, whatever. That was the relationship with their dad. Their dad's coming to them and giving them fair warning, God's after you, boys. And they say to their dad, whatever. They would not hearken unto the voice of their father. That's sad. Now, passive parents have a keen ability to place the fault with everyone else other than themselves. When something's not going right in the heart or life of their child, it's the pastor's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the youth pastor's fault. It's other kids. It's other environments. It's the church. It's the school. Whatever the case may be. But they are never willing to claim and to own their own responsibility. And I want to challenge all of us, we've got to stay engaged and we've got to be willing in the development of our children to confront and to bear responsibility. Refusing to deal with the problem in the life of our child is the worst response we can possibly take. Problems do not get solved by running from them. I see a behavior in my son or daughter, I don't want to deal with it, I'm going to leave it alone and it's going to get better. False! It's going to get worse. The next time you see it, it's going to be worse. The next time you see it, it's going to be more progressive. The next time you see it, it's going to be more advanced and further down the road. Why? Because they need a father and mother, and one who's willing to lovingly confront and bear responsibility. Wise parents are willing to pay the price. They're willing to talk to their child. They're willing to stay up late. They're willing to rearrange their schedule. They're willing to cut something else out so that they can make their child the priority that they're supposed to be. And that communicates to that child, I'm committed to you. I love you. I will do whatever it takes to make this right. We've got to get this fixed. Wise parents do not defend or allow their children to blame others. Listen, life is not fair, period. But you have to determine as mom and dad, we are not going to play the blame everybody else game. We learned that in Genesis chapter 3 and it didn't work. Oh, I don't know. She gave me the fruit. I don't know. The serpent told me this. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We just pass the buck to everybody else. Nothing's our fault. Everything is a result of the environment we're in. Everything is a result of everybody else. I mean, if it weren't for everybody else, I'd be perfect. And that's the philosophy of some people in some homes and some parenting environments. But we as an engaged parent have to recognize, listen, every time I look in the mirror, I see something I got to adjust. I don't have room or time to be blaming everybody else or trying to come up with stuff. I've got enough stuff right here I'm working on. And my kids have to know that. And they've got to own their responsibility. And then we've got to deal with their problems. We've got to support those who are over them. That's why, by the way, as a mom and dad, you've got to be very careful. Whose authority are you putting your children under? I grew up in a home where it didn't matter what I said about the authority. If the authority said something, that's where my parents were going to side every single time. Every time. And I hated it. I mean, I was good at, you know, coming up with this and that, and I could work this and that. It didn't matter. 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 If authority said this, that's the way it was. That's the way it was. My parents were siding with authority in the life I grew up in. Now, they're very careful whose authority they put me under, but they put me under authority that they could trust, and they backed that authority. By the way, that authority was not always perfect, but they still backed authority. And you know what it taught me? Number one, it taught me life wasn't fair. But number two, it taught me they're going to back me even when I'm not perfect. I grew up in an environment where authority was authority. And I was to be under that authority. And we want to make sure that we're careful in the development of that in our home. And sometimes when we're addressing things in our life, in our family, and in our parenting, we can feel like, well, man, to confront that or to deal with that or to take responsibility for it, it's a little embarrassing. Listen to me. Embarrassment is a small price to pay for the restoration or the salvaging of a life. It's okay to say, you know what? We're just going to take some time and fix this right here. I'd rather do that than have regret down the road. Fourthly, a passive parent have the truth, but they do not apply it to their heart. The Bible says of Eli in 1 Samuel 2, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. Wow. God sent a man of God to Eli and gave him the word of God and gave him what to do with his responsibility and what to do with his role. And he was instructed and he was guided with how he should perform. And you could say of Eli, Eli came to church. Eli was a three to thrive. Eli was in his design. Eli had a Bible open. Eli heard preaching. Eli heard teaching. Eli was in discipleship. Eli was involved. Eli was in every opportunity to grow, but it never followed him home. He was in the environments. He heard, thus saith the Lord. But it didn't change his heart. And who he was at home never changed. And his boys watched this in his life. He'd go to church. He even went into the ministry. He was a pastor. He was surrounded by truth. Watch this. Sometimes he was preaching the truth. Can you imagine Hophni and Phinehas on the front row listening to dad preach or teach? But they knew how their home ran. They knew what was going on Monday through Saturday in the four walls of their home. Could you imagine sitting in those seats, hearing him go on, and what those boys must have thought in their hearts and in their minds? I think they so rebelled against their father because they saw such an acceptance of hypocrisy. Their dad could platform the ministry with the best of them. But in their home, it resembled a place where God never resided. And I think those boys saw that and said, I want nothing to do with this. If that's what truth does for you, I don't want it. And Eli fell victim to the trap of hearing the truth, but not applying it to his heart. For every one of us in this room, it does us good to go to the altar. It does us good to make decisions. It does us good to sit down with our family and say, listen, hey, mommy and daddy have been letting this happen, and boy, we've been convicted of it. We want you to know we're sorry. We shouldn't have allowed this in our home. We kind of got into it, maybe not understanding it all, but well, we've been convinced it's not right. We're not going to do that. We just want to let you know we're sorry. You please forgive us. That ought to be happening in our homes. Our kids should watch in us real life change. Decisions being made where we're drawing closer to the Lord. If we really believe 2 Corinthians 5:17, where if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Then let's just be honest. Let's just get a gut check this morning. When's the last time something new happened in our life? When's the last time our kids had a front row seat to life change happening in us? Where something old was passed and something new was grabbed? Have they seen that in you? Are they seeing that in me in my home? Boy, that's what engaged parents do. They hear truth and they let it affect their life. They live in the presence of the Lord and they try to honor Him. Fifthly, passive parents focus on behavior modification rather than heart transformation. We touch on this a little bit already, but that's what Samuel did in 1 Samuel 2, verse 23. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Eli's like, guys, what are you doing? Everybody's telling me about your mistakes. Verse 24, nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Eli's coming to these boys, Hophni and Phinehas, and he's saying, what you're doing is wicked. I can't go anywhere now in our community and in our village and in our tribe and in our region and not hear from people about what you are doing against the Lord. Now, you know what I think the tone of Eli was, though, to these boys? It wasn't heart level, what you're doing that is displeasing to the Lord. It was, I'm hearing from people about you, and it's embarrassing. I need you to modify your behavior so that people don't come to me and complain. It wasn't so much about the condition of their hearts. It wasn't so much about the displeasure to the Lord. It wasn't about the fundamental life change that had to take place. It was, I'm inconvenienced. I'm hearing about your guys' stuff. Just clean up your life so I can enjoy mine. More focus on behavior modification than real heart change. And wise parents are not so overly focused on this outward modification, but rather on the heart and targeting true transformation from within. All of us as moms and dads have got to remember, never mistake outward conformity for inward comprehension and consensus. I may be able to get my four kids to hop to, yes sir, first time. And by the way, there's a time for that in their life. We're teaching it to some of the boys on the baseball field, and you pray for Brother Rule to have patience out there. But and there's a time for that. But with that needs to be the heart. The heart. So in those developmental toddler years, it's obedience, 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 immediate obedience. But then as they're growing in their mental development, it's making sure they understand why. Why? I don't want to just see a good show. I want to know you know the why. Why? Here's why. Because today in my life, I minister to families, and I love it. But did you know that our class will reach a lot of families that have moms and dads in homes that can show the walk with the best of any of them, but they don't really walk it in their heart or their life? And you know who suffers for that? Their kids. Their kids. And so we must receive the challenge. Boy, Eli made a mistake. And we can make that same mistake. And we've got to focus on the heart. We've got to make sure that there's obedience, but there's a heart transformation. We cannot assume just because they're obeying that they understand and that they believe. Number six, passive parents invest high energy into personal interest and career, but little energy into parenting. Did you ever think about that? Eli found the time to be the man of God, to be the prophet, to be the priest, to be the messenger, to be the preacher, to perform his roles and responsibilities in this fashion, but he didn't find the time to correct his own boys. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:25, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if one man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? The word entreat literally means to pray for, to intercede, to intervene, to mediate for. And you know what? Eli, intervene for your own boys. Gabe, intervene for Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph. Don't see something in their life and just say, I hope they get that figured out. Don't see something in their life and just say, well, I don't have time or I don't have energy. You're the father. You intervene in their life. You find time. You find energy. You make that a priority. You get involved because you'll regret it for the rest of your life if you don't. What a sad day in Eli's life when God brought the judgment on his life and his boys. No doubt standing there in that moment with great regret. How did I ever let it get to this? I'm not perfect. My children are not perfect. But they will not live a life that dishonors and displeases the Lord without a fight from their father like they cannot believe. That I am committed to. That I will do. And I may not have time to serve every family in this community, but I will make time to be there when my need's mine. That's a commitment I'm going to make. Because I do not want to get caught in being a passive parent. I want to be an engaged parent, and I know that you do as well. Eli should have done that for his boys, and they suffered because he did not. Then lastly, number 7, passive parents ultimately resign themselves to whatever will be. Eli never really invested much energy into bringing about change in the life of his boys. It was more like, guys, clean it up, because everybody keeps bringing me your problems, your dirty laundry. But watch this with me, 1 Samuel 3:18, very clearly, we're about to close, but watch this. The Bible says, and Samuel told him every whit, and he hid nothing from him. And what happened here? And here it is very quickly. God went to Samuel and said, Samuel, you're going to have to take Eli this message. Now Samuel was the boy brought to Eli, and Eli trained Samuel and prepared him for his ministry to the Lord. And watch this now. Here's Samuel giving to Eli the message of God. And he said, who said? The Lord said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. What happened? Samuel brings Eli the message. Eli, God says that he's going to destroy you and your boys for your wicked living. Judgment's coming. All of the wicked deeds, the day of judgment and reckoning, it's coming. Samuel delivers that message to Eli from God. Eli's response to this is, well, he's God. Let him do what seemeth good. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something in me that just starts down in my toes and works all the way up. And I just, if I have the opportunity, want to get in front of Eli and say, Eli, do something. Fight, pray, plead, beg, do something. You've just been served notice. Your boys are going to suffer the judgment of God. And your response is, well, he's the Lord. Let be what be. What are you talking about? I've seen God intervene with mercy before. I've seen people get a hold of the throne of God and him turn tide. I've seen him save nations. I've seen him save life. I've seen him raise from the dead. I've seen a lot of miracles happen when people got involved. Eli, why don't you take that kind of approach? But Eli had fallen in such a state of passive parenting that he was well beyond the energy or the time or the party to get engaged in his child's life. And may you and I learn from him and determine, as a wise parent, never to give up, never to believe it's too late, never not be willing to invest the energy necessary, because it's never too late to see God at work in the heart of your child. Passive parents will answer to God for their own neglect, not the choices of their children. It is imperative that you and I stay engaged. Eli was not responsible for his son's wickedness. They were. And by the way, they received great judgment for that. But you know what Eli was responsible for? Knowing about it and doing nothing. And you and I must be determined as mom and dad. And a great motivator that serves to you and I, we will give an account for the inaction of our parenting. When God brings something to our mind, to our heart, to our awareness, we've got to do something about it. Can I close with this simple thought? The young boy Samuel gets brought to the house of Eli. He's as just a lad getting trained by the preacher to be a preacher. He has a front row seat to this whole story. I mean, he's watching Hophni and Phinehas go out and do these wicked things. He's watching this dad do nothing. He is the messenger that God comes to and says, Samuel, go tell Eli this. Could you imagine that? Going to your mentor and having to tell your mentor, God's going to judge you and your boys for your lack of obedience? That's what Samuel had to do. Samuel, watch this. Front row seat. Satan destroying this family. Don't you think with me that anybody would have been passionate about being a parent? It would have been Samuel. I mean, watching Eli, watching these boys, watching God's judgment, watching the name of Jesus Christ shamed, watching people mocking church because of their life. Don't you think with me anybody would have had convictions about parenting and doing it right and all that? Would have been Samuel. But study it. The end of Samuel's life, his kids are in the same boat. dishonoring, displeasing the Lord, dad not involved. You say, Brother Rule, why do you tell us that? Because it's not enough just to come to his design. And Brother Rule try to inspire you to be involved. There's going to have to be something right here in your own life that you say, you know what? I got to do this. I can't hear about it. I can't read about it. I can't know about it. I can't think it's good. I have to do it. Amen. I have to be engaged. I cannot make the mistake that Eli and eventually Samuel made in their own parenting. None of us are going to be perfect. We all need God's help, but we can all be engaged. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time around your word today. And Lord, thank you for our class. I know a little different Mother's Day type of a lesson, but Lord, I pray that we would be determined in our heart. We're going to be engaged. We're going to be involved in the lives of our children. We're not going to fall victim to these pitfalls of this passive parenting. But Lord, we're going to do our best to honor and please you and to obey your word, to be involved in the life of our children, that they may grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they may live a life that pleases and honors God, and that one day they will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, thank you for every mom and dad in attendance today. Thank you for every person in attendance today. May all of us glean from this thought of pitfalls to avoid of passive parenting. May all of us examine our own life and say, what do I need to do to be the right Christian, the right spouse, and the right parent? Lord, may there be a special blessing on all the mothers today and on every family represented here. And may we strive to live for you this week, we pray in Jesus' name.